Hello, this is Pastor Galen from Chicago First Church, and welcome to our podcast. Before we hear the message today, I simply want to say that no matter where you're listening from, we're glad that you're here. We hope that the message will inspire you, instruct you, and help you grow in your relationship with Jesus. If you live in the Chicago area, maybe this podcast could be your first step to joining us at C1 in person sometime, or in our online community that meets every Sunday at c1naz.org/live. Well, thanks again for joining us today. We hope you enjoy the message, and more importantly, we pray that you would experience God and that you're encouraged today.
Well, good morning, everyone. If you don't know me, I am Pastor Hunter. I am the children's pastor here. A lot of you may not recognize me because I'm typically actually in another room. When I took this job, I had no idea I would ever be on stage, so this might be a little bit new for all of us. Actually, backstage, Matthew came up to me and he said, Hunter, more people showed up than I thought. And I turned back to him and I said, they must not have told them that I was preaching this morning. Really slipped that in under the rug. Well, I appreciate it though. I know it's a couple days after Christmas, but I appreciate seeing all of you here. I love preaching. I don't get to do it on stage, but I actually get to preach every Sunday to the kids every in our own little worship service type thing. So I get to preach more than anyone else in the building, which I think is a great honor. But I love it. And if you should know anything about me, if you should know one thing about me, like leaving today to remember forever, it's that I am a huge story person. I love stories. I love reading stories. I love listening to stories. I love telling stories. And actually, I believe that we are all story people. So think about this. When you go and you see someone and you say, hey, how has your day been? So for instance, if I go up to Pastor Phil and I say, Phil, how has your day been? He will turn to me and he will tell me various stories about how his day has been. Oh yeah, I went to the store and got this, or I went and saw this with this person. It's a story. We tell each other stories. Or we sit down, we watch a movie, and that tells us a story. We watch a TV show. Story. Or we read a book. We read a book to our kids. We read them stories all the time every night, or we tell them Disney stories. We are story people. It's one of my core beliefs. And in light of that, today I want to tell you a story. Oh, I think I'm messing up the mic here. Today I want to tell you a story. This is a story about a friend. Oops. This is the first time I've used that mic, I'm sorry. I want to tell you a story today. Now, this story is about my friend named Mark. Mark is a really good friend of mine, but I think by the end of it, the story will tell us something that will be helpful for all of us today. Now, Mark's story begins when he was first born. He was born to parents who were still in high school, which, as you can imagine, gives all kinds of issues for your early life. It was very chaotic. He would move from house to house, from his dad's house, his dad's parents' house, or his birth mother's house. His dad actually had to graduate high school early to take a construction job to provide for him, which causes a really chaotic early life when you're a kid. And he bounced around a lot. And in fact, if you ask my friend Mark, he'll tell you that one of his earliest memories is waking up and freaking out because he has no idea where he's at. Because he moved around and he lived in so many different houses, it was hard to keep track. And so that brief 10-second panic of going, where am I sleeping at right now? What house am I at? And that's my friend Mark's earliest memory. Very chaotic. And this kind of went on for about 3 to 4 years until Mark's dad married another woman, a different woman than his mom, and it was at that time that Mark's birth mom decided that she was not in a position to take care of a child. Her life was kind of going into some rough directions, and so it was at this moment that she gave up her parental rights, and Mark's dad and his new wife adopted him fully. And this was really good for Mark. He had a stable family, a stable life, but in that moment, Mark felt like his own mother did not love him enough to keep him. And that's just one of those things that a kid's heart hears sometimes. And in fact, if you ask Mark's adopted mom, she'll tell you that during that time period of elementary school, that Mark would constantly go up and ask her, why doesn't my mom love me? And that's hard. And that was hard for Mark. And this really shaped who he was for years. In fact, Mark in elementary school had a hard time believing anyone would love him, or even like him, or even want to be friends with him of any sort of capacity. And because of this, Mark was really shy in elementary school. And he would just kind of sit by himself and read books and not talk to anybody, didn't have many friends. And it was hard. He would go to church, and he liked church, and he liked hearing about the Bible, and he liked reading the Bible. But beyond that, he was really insecure and really shy. And then everything changed when Mark's family moved. Now, he moved in between the summer between his fifth and sixth grade year, going into middle school. Now, for those of you who have been a middle schooler, which is most of us in the room, or have had a middle schooler, know that middle school can be a tough time to live through, especially when you just moved. And for Mark, it was no exception. He moved 6 hours away, away from any family, away from any friends that he did have, to a completely new area. Now, this can be tough, but a couple things happened that helped Mark out a little bit. He met some friends right across the street that ended up being some amazing friends for him. In fact, for the first time in Mark's life, he felt like someone really wanted to be his friend and liked hanging out with him, which was really good for Mark's confidence. And as he kind of grew up and matured, he kind of grew into that. But more importantly, he started attending this church. Now, he had been attending church growing up, a Nazarene one, actually. But this church was way different. In fact, it was a mega church, a church of 2,000, 3,000, 4,000 people every weekend. It was massive, and it was like nothing Mark had ever experienced before in his life. It was so exciting. There were so many people. The youth group was big. He was starting to make friends, and it was incredible. In fact, more importantly than that, Mark was noticing something different about the people he was attending church with. He was noticing something different about his friends, and they seemed to be living differently. And Mark had a hard time with this. He wasn't really sure what all that was about. He wasn't sure kind of what they were talking about. They kept referencing this relationship with God, and they seemed to talk about God as if he was like a close personal friend. They talked about hearing from God and following God, and he just had no idea what all that was about. And so we started asking questions. For months, every single week, Mark would bombard his youth leader and his friends and his parents with questions on what does this whole thing mean? And he eventually kind of came to this realization that he knew a lot about God. He had grown up in a pretty good children's ministry, and he could tell you who God was. He could tell you the stories and what God had done in the Old and the New Testament and Jesus coming, all of that. But the people around him seems to know God on a completely different level. And Mark wanted that. He wanted that relationship with God so badly. And so one day he decided and he sat down and he surrendered his entire life to God and said, you know what, God, I'm going to let you lead it. If this is something new and real, I want that. And so I'm giving it to you. And from that moment, everything changed in Mark's life. He started growing. Eventually, his mom was able to disciple him and help him hear God's voice for himself and learn the direction God was taking him. And he started making friends, and he believed that God could love him. And if God can love you, others can as well, because God knows you better than anyone. And he started growing confident in himself and secure, and he started making more friends. And eventually, Mark's family moved from the main campus to a side campus of the church. He started attending a new church with one of Mark's closest friends. And it was there that he saw some of the most transformative things happen in his entire life. Mark was able to sit down and help other friends surrender their lives to God and start their relationship. He was able to watch his youth group grow out of nowhere, and people from their school start to be changed, and the atmosphere was changing. It felt like they were making a real difference. In fact, it was around this time that Mark felt like he was supposed to be a pastor one day. He loved being in the church and loved being there, and it felt like everything was going in the right direction. Until one day, in Mark's junior year of high school, he walked downstairs, just a normal Monday, and his parents were waiting for him, which is a little bit out of the ordinary that early in the morning. And they said, Mark, we have some difficult news to tell you. As of last night, the senior pastor and the executive pastor of our church, a guy and a girl, have been fired from the church. They were having an affair. And if you ask Mark what he was thinking in that moment,
his answer would be nothing. Completely stunned. Dazed, in fact. Actually, Mark went around that whole day at his school in a trance. Couldn't think, couldn't understand, couldn't believe that that would happen. And he wondered, how? How did we get to this point? And what does this mean going forward? And unfortunately, it didn't stop there. In fact, over the next year and a half of Mark's life, thing after thing would happen and blow after blow, which would ultimately result in the campus that Mark's family had moved to attending closed. And it was at this point, midway through Mark's senior year, as he looked around, he didn't have many friends anymore, his church had closed, and he was left stunned, disbelieving at what had just transpired over the past year and a half of his own life. He was sitting hopeless, wondering where God was, how God could have let this happen, and what in the world was going to come next for him. It felt like God was pretty silent and pretty far away. The thing about Mark's story, though, is that it's not unique. While that specific scenario may be unique, I think all of us can think back to a time in our life when we felt the same type of hopelessness and feeling like God was kind of far apart and maybe not speaking as loudly as he used to. We're looking around being unsure of where to go. In fact, if we look back just a couple thousand years ago, we'll find a whole group of people who were in that scenario. As we look at the Israelites a couple thousand years ago, coming out of the Old Testament, God was suddenly silent. After all of those years, and if you read all of those books of sending prophets and kings and judges and voices in the wilderness and saying you need to turn back, suddenly everything had gone wrong for them. They had been taken over by nation after nation after nation. The prophets were no longer coming and speaking, and they were unsure of what to do. They had been ripped from their homeland, and they felt hopeless. In fact, if we enter in 2,000 years ago, in fact, you could say 2,003 days ago, you would find a people that were at the end of their rope. They weren't really sure what to do or where to go. They felt like God had given them all of these promises, but they were stuck under Roman rule, and a Roman rule meant that your culture and your religion was being changed and shaped and molded to fit the Roman way of life, and that was hard for them. And they didn't feel like God was here or listening. They were waiting on a Messiah that felt like it would never come. And they were hopeless, and they felt like God wasn't speaking to them any longer. But then, out of that moment, everything changed. In fact, 2 days ago, we celebrate the fact that everything changed. Because out of the silence, out of the hopelessness, an angel comes down and speaks to a frightened teenage girl named Mary. And this is incredible. The first time in 400 years anything has been spoken, and it's to a teenage girl named Mary. And it is to Mary that this angel says, in my opinion, one of the most profound, important things in the entire Bible. He says, Mary, you're going to have a child. This child will be the long-awaited Messiah. And the people will know this Messiah as Emmanuel, which means God with us. And it was that right there that changed everything. Because it was no longer enough for God to just speak through prophets or speak through angels or to send prophecies or fulfill promises down. In fact, it had gotten to the point where God needed to come himself. God would finally be with us. And to a people that felt like God was far away, that meant everything. That God would come to be with them. No longer would they sit around wondering where God was, wondering when he would move and speak again. Instead, he would be there, and he would be their Messiah, and he would save them, the one they had been waiting for. Now, if you haven't picked up on it by now, my friend Mark is not actually my friend Mark. That's actually my story. And I remember my senior year of high school pacing back and forth in my room every single night. I wondered how God could allow the things that had happened in my life to happen. I wondered how I was supposed to go and be a pastor in ministry when it felt like everything had come crashing down. I wondered what had happened to all the promises and the uplifting things, and I wondered why God wasn't speaking any longer. I felt hopeless. I felt like God had been silent. I wasn't sure what to do. And it was in that moment that God spoke three words to me. Three simple words, but that changed everything. And it was in that night, and I remember it clearly, that God said, "Hunter, I'm still here." And that was incredible. That was an incredible word from God. That he would say that I'm still here. That I never left at all. In fact, that him being there was just enough. That was all that I needed in that moment to be reminded. The simple presence of God. The reminder of one of the most powerful truths about our God is that he is here. And that changed everything. Suddenly, it didn't feel like I was abandoned any longer. It didn't feel like God was silent. In fact, I was reminded that I may not have been able to notice God being here, but he was still here. The similar truth that we celebrate and that we announce to the entire world every Christmas morning, that God is here. I know sometimes it can feel hopeless. In fact, this year has been pretty tough. And there was even parts of this year we weren't able to even meet in this building. In fact, we're still not meeting the same way like we always were. And that can be hard. We can look around going, "God, what are you doing? How are you allowing this to happen? And where are you? Why aren't you speaking any longer?" And I think that Christmas comes at a really important time this year as God reminds us that he has come, that he is here with us. It doesn't matter what's happening anymore. That is enough for us in this moment that God would be here. And I think that is the hope that we have when we celebrate on Christmas morning, when we wake up and get out of bed and we're excited. And we can remember that 2,000 years ago, the hope of the world came and that God came down and he is here. Now, you might be wondering why I have a candle here. And for those of you, for those kids in the room who have been with me or those volunteers, you know what this is about. Every Sunday with the kids, I, at the beginning of the service, light a candle. Now, this is an electronic candle, so you probably can't see it because the light is on, but it's lit, I promise. And this candle is an important reminder. And what I do is I do a back and forth with the kids every Sunday morning. And I say, "All right, do you know why we light a candle?" And every morning they know. We light a candle to remind us of a really important truth. The fact that God is here with us. The fact that this moment, when we come in and worship together, that it's God's time. But even more important than that, as we leave the service every single week, I turn the candle off. And again, I ask them, "Do you know why we turn the candle off at the end of the service?" And they know the answer to this at this point. And they say, "It's because we know that God does not stay here in this building, but instead he goes with us and stays with us where we go." Because our God does not just inhabit a building or a place, but he inhabits his people. The most important truth that we could ever remember was announced on Christmas Day, 2,000 years ago, the fact that God has come. And no longer would God be distant. No longer would we wait for him to speak to us. Would we wonder where he was or be hopeless. Instead, we would know the truth that God is with us. And I hope today, as you leave, as we leave a difficult year and a difficult time, that we would remember the important truth that we announced 2 days ago. The same truth that an angel came down and spoke to a frightened teenage girl, Emmanuel, that God has come. Because it is in that phrase that everything changes. Thank you.
Thanks again for joining us on C1's podcast. If you're interested in your next step in growing your relationship with God, go to c1naz.org and click on Next Steps. There on our website, you can also find our service times and more information about our church. We'd also invite you to subscribe to our podcast so you'll always have the newest episodes. And feel free to share today's podcast with a friend who might need to hear it. Thanks again for joining us, and have a good day.